I can remember one time, it was so cool because you know, you're tearing through the city, flying around. You fly up in the sky and you fly in outer space. And you're like, wait a minute. I can't imagine anything else past this. And then you wake up.
Oh, nice. Wow.
I felt like if I were able to actually think beyond space, then I could have gone there.
I'm Elijah Wood.
And I'm Daniel Noah. Stephen Ellison, better known as Flying Lotus.
He's a brilliant, genre-defying musician and producer, constantly pushing himself out of his comfort zone to craft beautiful and sometimes uncategorizable music with an extraordinary list of collaborators such as Thundercat, Kendrick Lamar, and Herbie Hancock.
What many people may be surprised to learn is that he is related to the spiritual jazz musician Alice Coltrane, whom you'll hear him speak about with great love and reverence in this conversation.
Fly Low has recently begun directing films. His first feature, the bizarro world horror anthology Kuso, premiered at Sundance and is currently available on Shudder.
He's still processing the loss of his good friend, rapper and musician Mac Miller, who remains very present for him in both material and immaterial ways.
We visited Steve and his dog Eco on a rainy day in L.A., hanging in his home filled with a singular collection of art, books, and ephemera, a haunted house in the most beautiful way.
And remember, if you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you never miss an episode.
This is Visitations
with Elijah Wood
and Daniel Noah.
And now, Flying Lotus.
Weather's insane.
I love it.
Me too.
Okay, Waze. I love when it rains in LA.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Okay, it's the best. Hope it keeps thundering.
Me too. We're supposed to get like 3 or 4 inches of rain tomorrow night.
Laurel Canyon in the rain.
Yeah, it's fucking beautiful. The Laurel Canyon River?
Mm-hmm. Maybe someone like canoeing.
Right?
Hello.
Little mice. Yeah. They love it when it rains.
They love it when
yeah.
A little like paper boat.
Yeah.
Whoa. See that lady?
Yeah, it was amazing. It's one of those camera ring things.
What's up?
How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, man. How are you?
Come on in.
Good to see you. How you been?
Been forever. Yeah.
It's been a long time.
How you doing, man? We've never met in person, I don't think. We've only talked on the phone.
Steve, yeah.
I'm Daniel.
Nice to meet you.
So nice to
come on in.
Should we take our shoes off?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Eco, chill. Eco. Leave him alone.
This house is so beautiful.
Thanks. Yeah, it's a little haunted, a little creepy.
Is it?
I love it. Yeah.
Is it? Yeah.
Ooh, that's something you want to talk about.
It's just, you know, you get the random flickery lights and, you know, just like little spooky vibes. Sometimes.
Anything more than vibes? We're true believers. So.
I'll show you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll show you one thing.
Okay. Wow, what a cool house. How long have you lived here?
Been here about 5 years now. Yeah. Welcome. Have a seat anywhere.
This is where it all happens.
What a space, man.
This is where some of it happens. Most of it, shit.
Have you always had a home recording studio?
Yeah.
You've done it all yourself?
Eco, come here.
Oh, get down.
What up, buddy? Hello.
She just wants to be petted for like 10 seconds and she'll not bother anybody.
What's her name?
Eco.
Eco. Hi. Oh my God, she's so cute.
Hi, cutie.
Do you live alone here?
Yep, me and my dog.
Yeah.
me and Eco and the plants.
I thought I heard footsteps upstairs earlier.
That was the ghost.
Is that part of the haunting?
Yeah, that's Mac.
That's Mac?
Yeah, Mac Miller.
That's Mac Miller.
Yeah.
I see. Is that all the photos around here?
Yeah, he'd be running around. This is what I was saying, like, the baby head right here. Sometimes his baby head, I always make sure his baby's watching me. But sometimes baby, like, over there. Like, what
it
the
turns.
Fuck?
Really?
Like, who did that? Like, Mac, get out of here.
How long has Mac been here?
Man, well, he...
Right away?
Yeah, well, you know...
Were you guys tight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, Mac, he lived right up the street.
Oh, I
lived right up this hill.
Okay.
So, you know, he would just come down and play me a bunch of tracks, and like, make music, and... We make a lot of stuff, and none of it ever came out. We did one thing that came out, but you know, he would always like seem like this was a place for him to get out of his head a little bit. You know, he was he was a sweet dude. Mm. You know, really crazy.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, but I do think he would. Fucking turn that baby head if he was a ghost. He would totally do that and fucking me. So, all good.
Do you have any siblings?
Yeah, I have a little sister. But she's not like little. She's like, what, 25?
Yeah.
Yeah. She takes care of my grandma.
Oh, cool.
And, she's cool. She's doing her own thing.
Did you grow up in Los Angeles? Where were you raised?
Yeah, I was, I'm from the Valley. I'm from around this way.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you still have family here?
Yeah. Canoga Park, like Woodland Hills area. That's where my family, some of my family is. And
Are your folks still around here?
No.
No?
No.
No.
I grew up out here, spent too much time here. You know,
yeah.
One of those LA people, actual LA people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was kind of
so you're a Valley kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious at what point in your life as a kid did you sort of become aware of like your family history and what that.
Very early on.
Yeah.
But it was different because, you know, the person that everyone was interested in was John Coltrane, you know, when I was a kid. Yet Alice Coltrane was this amazing woman, had her own legacy, her own lineage. You know, everyone was still trying to talk about him when she was around. You know, when she passed, it changed, but, you know, we were just kind of, I grew up in the shadow of that John Coltrane thing. You know,
wow.
We had a whole festival ran out of his name. And my family, you know, my mother and my grandmother, they worked there and they ran the festival. So we were, like, really close to it ever since I was a kid from that perspective. But all the while, you know, my Aunt Alice, she was just, like, you know, she was the matriarch of our family, really. You know, like, the California family, basically. You know, she looked after us. And, you know, so I definitely saw it, but I think... In terms of like my own appreciation for the music, what the music was, I felt like I still appreciate it more and more. I'm like growing with it still. Like now I'm actually like playing piano more and shit. So now I have a different connection with it even more. Because I'm like, oh my God, what was she doing? Like, oh, okay, so no one played like her then. And it was like, you know, it was like, it just keeps getting deeper, I think, than becoming, like, normal or more normal. It's, like, even stranger, you know, because there's, like, I remember, you know, because we had this festival, I would film all these events. I would, you know, have set up crews, and we, like, have, like, you know, when I was a teenager, like, filming these things. And they were, like, all these amazing performances that, probably weren't ever really documented. I have all this footage and stuff. And one day we're gonna do something with it.
But, oh my God, amazing. Yeah.
But you know, it was like, it's just a trip to see it all kind of, it's just doing what it's supposed to do. I don't know. It's trippy, but.
And what is it supposed to do?
I don't know. I think especially with my aunt, I think Alice Coltrane, I think it's
she's gonna have another wave of appreciation, I think.
I think you're right.
In a very short amount of time, I think people are really gonna catch on like they did with some of the other jazz greats. So it's nice that there's gonna be a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, to get out into the world that comes from the place she would have wanted, you know? I think people would, she would like for people to know her as this person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not like the old stuff before she became, you know, in touch with her spiritual side. I think the music that she was really, really into was stuff that she kind of started writing near the end of her life. So it's kind of cool that we got stuff.
So I read that Flying Lotus came out of a lucid dream, the term Flying Lotus, is that right?
Well, not necessarily. I thought, you know, I am just a person who would do that quite often. I'd have lucid dreams.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Did you teach yourself, or did that just come to you?
I think it happened a couple times naturally, and mm-hmm. then because I had it, I was like, how do I do that again?
Yeah.
I started getting really into it, you know. But I think the name really just came from like, asking, like, what does the music sound like?
Mm.
As more so than who am I? Mm-hmm. It was like, what is that?
What is this?
Like? Yeah, so it just, that's...
Got it.
This made sense.
What do you do when you lucid dream? What do you do?
Fly.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. That's really it. I think that's the go-to. You know.
It's yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh shit, I'm out of here. You know. It's like, and like, I think I can remember one time, it was so cool because you know, just like, you know, you're tearing through the city, flying around. You fly up in the sky and you fly in outer space, and you're like, wait a minute. I can't imagine anything else past this, and then you wake up.
Oh, right. Wow.
I felt like if I were able to actually think beyond space, then I could have gone there.
Wow.
But because that was like the limit,
oh, I was like,
okay, I'm dreaming now. There's something weird about that.
You know, dreams are so enigmatic to me. Like yeah. What? No, and I think, you know, brain researchers like have almost no understanding. What's that?
Just why we do it at all.
Why do we do it, and what is it? And, you know, what when you're in that reality, is it a reality?
Mm.
You know, and
oh,
I mean, it's just similar to psychedelics, I think, you know, where you know, that, like, is a vision just a vision? I mean, even just, you know, looking at your Bosch painting here, that's a kind of lucid dream that he had.
I don't want to go there, though.
No. No, I don't
it looks
go
cool
there
from a distance.
Yeah.
I was like, I want that outside of a window. He was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I don't want to be down there, though.
No. Well, that's, no. And that's, but isn't that kind of, and that's a good segue into talking about horror, which, you know, is a big part of,
yeah.
You know, which is a big thing for you, right? Like,
sure.
You know, is that horror is a big part of your world, isn't it?
Or a
significant
I just
part.
Love films.
Yeah.
You know, I love all types of movies. I
okay.
think I'm just like attracted to cinema.
Yeah.
I think Kuso, for me, like making a horror film was kind of the best entry point I could think of because it was just going to only be fun. You know,
yeah.
It was like even the dramatic parts could be silly. You know, I thought that I wanted to make something that like, I knew I was gonna have to grind to make the movie. I knew it was gonna be fucking difficult as shit. So I was like, whatever I have to put in front of me, let's just make it fun mm-hmm. and silly, mm-hmm. you know? Because otherwise, I'll probably go mad, dude.
Yeah.
You know, and,
yeah.
But I do love all types of shit, though.
Mm-hmm.
I went really deep when I was in high school and kind of deciding I was gonna go to film school. I did that kind of like education where you just like watch everything
sure. yeah.
over and over again, you know. And, but yeah, doing that just like expanded my horizons in like genre films and foreign films. And
I love Kuso, by the way.
Yeah, Kuso's incredible.
Yeah, I love it. Like
you.
It was great to, you know, we saw like the early.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
an early iteration
yeah.
when we were talking to you, and then, but like, then it was really amazing to come back and see the final version, and like,
yeah.
there's just such vision there and such like humanity in it. And
thanks.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful film.
Thanks. Yeah, it was, that was a trip to make, man.
I can imagine.
I couldn't,
because you're
even
pulling
think
so many different elements together Because it wasn't like one narrative. It's multiple shorts strung together. And
yeah.
How long did it take?
2.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah. But like working on it every day.
Wow.
While also, you know, being flying loaded, you know, doing all that stuff, you know?
Right.
So it was like, it was a trippy time, man. It was trippy. And, you know, I think of something that you said all the time. I saw this interview that you did. Sorry, I'm on all the shit, dude. You're talking about Peter Jackson.
Yeah.
And you're talking about when he did Lord of the Rings, and you're talking about how he had boundless energy up to a point, you know, it seemed like he was just like, he could do it every day because he saw the smaller picture. I think that's what you said.
Mm.
It was like, every day you worked on the smaller picture, you do like the one thing well every day. And not get overwhelmed by the big picture. You just do one little thing at a time. You chip away at this thing. And that's what Kuso was. But if I looked at all the work, if I could see all the work that I had to do to make that thing happen, all the energy that it took, you know, and then once it was done, having to deal with all the stuff that came after that, would I have done it? I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
But,
right. Well, and you were kind of teaching yourself, right, as you went? Like, you didn't know what the hell, how to help make a movie, right? You were just like, I'm just going to pick up a camera and get some mics.
I knew a bit, you know.
But you did go to film school.
Yeah, I knew a bit, and I've also worked on lots of music videos and stuff. Like, a lot of the, you know, these amazing video directors have been my mentors as well, and I've co-directed some, and so it's been really, you know, the best education, you know, and having other great people around me. Like, you know, I was, you know, Terrence Malick was mentoring me for a minute. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, I was like, he was just like, having me around for a little while, you know,
like,
stand right here. Like, okay.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, so I got to see some stuff and how it's done properly. And, you know, how to, and then you see things that you're like, oh, well, I would have probably just suggested this. You have your own things you make up from seeing other people do it and see what's effective and what isn't.
But start to recognize your own voice in that.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I think what I wasn't prepared for was everything else that was like off of directing, you know,
right?
Because I still had to edit the thing I was doing. I was doing fucking visual effects at some point. I didn't know how to do all this stuff. After Effects, I had to teach myself all this stuff.
That's so cool, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's fun.
That's
what
I mean. Yeah,
you get
obsessed
with it. You know, you lose yourself in it.
I love those great stories. You hear them from so many filmmakers when they start out that just for sheer lack of resources and money, they had to do things themselves.
Yeah. And you have an appreciation for the process.
Totally.
And you've been through every bit of it, and you're like, okay, well, you know, it would be really cool, though, to have some other people working for me, though. That would be fucking amazing, man. That would be so cool.
But that's what I mean. I mean, because I remember when we first got connected, it was because Warp reached out to us, and they were like, you know, hey, you know, he's making this movie, but, like, seems like he needs help with things like scheduling and, you know, and, like, and then when we looked at it, we were like, No, he's killing it, and like, who cares about the scheduling? And you know, and it seems like you just follow the impulse, and you kind of learn it as you go.
Yeah,
and you know, we talk a lot about how much we like the idea of outsider art. Is that a term? Is a term you've heard before?
I'm not familiar with it means to you.
I think what it means, like in the art world, it just literally means like, you know, every once in a while there's an artist who has no training of any kind, doesn't come from the art world, like just some guy living in his parents' basement who, for whatever reason, the way his brain works, when he picks up a pencil and makes a drawing,
I get what you're
it's
saying.
Not that far off from Van Gogh's, you know, 12 years into his development, and that, you know,
that was crazy.
But there's something about the art not coming out of a formal setting.
It's pure.
Yeah. And that's Kuso has that quality to me.
Definitely.
Of like, it feels very pure. It doesn't feel like it was overly,
it wasn't
like devised or
no. It was like, if you could make a film like Jazz, that was kind of what it was like. It felt very much as possible, you know, as much as I could get away with.
Yeah.
It's like doing it as I went But actually, now that I think about it, there were scripts, so it wasn't that much jazz. We could have just straight up had no scripts, and then it would have been crazy. Nah, I won't ever do that.
So you're sort of self-teaching on the piano right now.
Well, it appears that way. But
did you play when you were young?
A little bit, but yeah. You know, mm-hmm. I would just say I haven't ever touched an instrument until this year. I'll just say like
intents and purposes.
Because considering how far I've come since, you know, since I started, it just feels like the beginning, I guess. You know?
Yeah.
And actually being able to, you know, read shit and make sense of it, mm-hmm. it feels really new. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
So when you started music, what was the avenue that you started, having not...
Accident.
Really?
I just didn't know, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
You know, I just was like...
You encouraged me at one stage. I remember that. You said something on Twitter. You sent me a message, and you were like, "Do you play music?" And I said, "No, I don't play. I don't play any instrument.
You play drums.
I play. I mess around, but nothing that I can say I play."
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you were like, "Doesn't matter. You should play. You should play anyway. It's better that you don't know what you're doing."
Yeah, I think so. You know,
I think so too.
There's a little bit of me that's like, "Oh shit, don't learn too much. Don't That's a stupid thing to say, but."
But I understand what that means.
Yeah, yeah, you don't want to just, like, do the easy shit.
Yeah.
So, but it is great to be learning. It's nice to have, I think my brain just needs that. You know, that's how Kuso happened. Just, like, my brain needs to just go, like, towards some thing, you know. Especially now that the album is done, I'm kind of, like, between moments. Mm. And I have the time to do it. I'm not traveling, so I can just kind of, you know.
When did you what did you start with? Were you, like, what was the medium?
I used Reason, like, when I started taking it seriously, I was using Reason.
Okay.
I was using that and, you know, not really having real grasp of anything, you know, just, like, I love sampling, and I felt like I knew what I wanted to hear, and it would just take forever to get there. Because I just have to, like, slowly, it's like slowly chipping away at something. You're just and going back and doing every key wrong, and then going back and then doing, you know, it's like figuring it out like that. It's just, like, very slow.
Yeah.
But you get there.
Yeah.
It just takes a while. But, so yeah, I'm trying to move a little bit faster now, I think.
How does your family feel about your music?
I think they better fucking love it. they're good. I think how it's supposed to be is, you know, of course it freaks everybody out in the beginning, and then they're like, "Oh, okay, I get it." After a while, and then they're cool. And that's how it was.
Yeah.
I think everyone was a little like, "Well, it sounds like you're smashing on pots and pans and, you know, throwing shit down the flight of stairs. That's what your music sounds like." I was hearing that at first, and then, you know.
Interesting.
But it probably did, though. It probably didn't sound like that.
Right.
But everyone was always supportive. You know, they always knew I was going to do some kind of thing. So they're like, "Oh, okay, that's cool. Do that. You seem happy. Go on, just keep doing that, you know."
Yeah.
So, I guess it could have been way different. There's a lot of families that aren't really supportive of their kids being artists, musicians, but I think they just probably knew I was going to get in it somehow, some of this stuff. So.
Yeah.
Well, and I would imagine in your family that was highly valued.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you encouraged to go into music as a child?
It would be wrong to say no. But no one was like, "Well, that's not true." They definitely put stuff in my hands. I was playing a saxophone at some point in my life.
Oh,
I was playing that. So they, they'd take that. Yeah, I think they definitely encouraged it. I think it was when I started getting into film, it was actually like weirder for them. They were like, "Whoa. Thought you were gonna do music. What are you doing? Pick up a camera. What are you doing with that?" And I'm like, all right, you're also a film guy then too. So they just learned to love me, I think, for who I am.
Do you want to make your own family?
Oh wow.
Doesn't everybody?
No.
You know, I don't know.
That's probably what I would say, too. Doesn't everybody?
I don't know. I do have this vision of me just being alone in Hawaii, like on an island with my dog, a dog or something like that. But I don't know if that's going to be real. I don't know.
Right.
Do you like to be alone?
When I'm creating, yeah. But no. I like having friends. You like having people over and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, when I'm working, I'd like to be alone just because I don't really like when people are like over my shoulder when I'm trying to work, and mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I feel a little inhibited sometimes.
Sure, you know? But, that makes sense.
But you know, that's another thing you have to get over, because you know, having to collaborate with people and stuff. But mm-hmm. I would prefer to build things and then work with people to build them up even more.
You know, embellish like them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my preferred process, but it's all over the place.
Mm-hmm. This rain is so beautiful.
Yeah. It's my favorite weather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
Good interview vibes.
Yeah, man.
It really is.
What are you finding that you're writing on piano, given that it's a new medium and yeah. you're learning the instrument?
I think just I'm writing stuff that's just a bit more, I guess just deeper, I think. I don't know.
Hmm.
It's just like being able to say more with a different language
yeah.
is all, you know? Mm-hmm. Able to get by saying certain things for a while, and then after that, you've exhausted all the things you can say. But now I have a lot more to say in the conversation.
Oh, man, that's
so cool.
Best way
to put it.
Yeah.
You know? Do you feel like you... how aware are you of what it is that you're saying when you're finding a new medium or on a new project? Are you thinking about what this means to you as a person in a personal way?
I think oftentimes it reveals itself. You know, it tells me, oh yeah, that makes sense. You know, like, I didn't consciously, I want to make a song that, you know, illustrates how shitty I feel today.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that way. It just, there'll be a moment in the track where you just, oh, you hear it. You're like, yeah. Oh yeah, that was, it was that day. You know, but I don't know. I don't overthink any of it.
Yeah.
Mm. I've been trying to avoid that for so long. I think now when I'm writing stuff, I try to gravitate towards keys that I'm not used to writing in, just to challenge myself and to be like, to learn how to hear different things harmonically. And because I feel like I was, you know, for so long writing in certain keys, but now it's like, all right, we'll just get out of my comfort zone and just dive into the unknown, which is really fun musically. Because it's just like everything I start writing over on the piano can go into that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know.
Is making art an exorcism for you?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so grateful to have music, no matter whatever happens with films, anything. I'm just grateful to be able to do this and to be able to do it alone. You know, just like, it's like writing. It's like you get to, it's a free medium to play in. It doesn't cost anything. You can just let it out, do it alone, and who knows what it'll become.
Yeah.
But it's been so healing. You know, it's like, because you're making the stuff. And say you are in a shitty mood, say you're feeling really shitty, you can just be like, all right, I'm feeling shitty, so I'm gonna make a dance track right out. Like, you're like, you know, getting the tempo going, you're getting that going, and then suddenly you got this new energy. You're like feeding a new energy into yourself by creating this stuff. You're, you know, transforming your whole DNA by making music and falling into a trance in the meditation doing it. And, you know, you just, it's cool. It's so grateful that that's my thing, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, there's something about that, the pulse that you get out of it. And then 2 hours later, you're like, where am I? What is this? How did I make this thing?
Will you play some stuff for us on the piano?
Oh, man.
The fact that you're uncomfortable is the reason why you should do it.
Let's see. How's it go? I'll play this other one then. Fuck. I wrote this melody that I like. Goes. And then, so it was like,
that's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
A little spooky, but yeah. Still beautiful vibes. Yeah. You know, it's like curious.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's that little walk that that part. There's something really healing about playing piano. You know, and
yeah,
you'll see, man. If you do it, you'll find it. You'll be like, oh yeah, this is.
Where you can just get yourself into a space.
That's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
I can imagine.
Especially, you know, I'm sure you have a really high stress life at times.
Right.
It's like it can also serve as a meditation, I think. So I don't know.
Do you meditate?
Yeah, but I mean it's way deeper.
Right.
than nothing. But I get it. I get that quiet thing too, but I also know it's like really just you're putting yourself in kind of a trance.
Mm.
And that's what this is all about. That's all about, the studio, you know, just...
Oh, to have that outlet, man. That's the best.
Yeah, yeah.
To have music as an outlet, because that, I mean, like you were saying earlier, everything can go away, but you can always go back to that.
Absolutely.
Always.
Yeah, and the power can go out, and I can play this freaking thing.
Right.
You know, it's cool. That was another reason why I wanted to get into it. For some reason, I was just like... There was this, I don't know if it's like an apocalyptic vision or some romantic vision, but I was just like, man, just when it's all over, I can still play that thing
or yeah. You
know, whatever it is. But as long as my hands are still here.
But so, Steve, we have this one question that we ask everybody on this show.
Okay.
And the question is, what scares you?
I think just really not being able to express myself creatively, I think. Mm. I think that to me is like, I hold that so close to me. You know, I think like, man, if I ever lost my hearing or my sight or something like that, or can't play an instrument, you know, I was about to do some like, kickboxing and shit the other day, and I was like, wait a minute, I can't be fucking up my wrists right now. Like, what am I thinking? You know, I can't be doing that. Mm. But, you know, I'm sure I could, but I'd be thinking about that now more than ever, just because, you know, I just have a lot to do still, I think. And, you know, I'm sure you guys can relate
sure.
to that.
Sure.
You just, you know, you want to keep going. I don't know. Just the idea of, like, you know, who knows? Having brain aneurysm, having a stroke, you know, falling down some shit.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff is scary to me.
What's the one thing you can count on?
Good question. I can count on my dog farting in like every 10 minutes. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. Do I have to think of that right now? Shit.
The rain is stopping right as our time is up.
It's still raining, but it's
not. But it's coming. It's easing up a little.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's time.
I love a rainy day.
It's my favorite weather.
It's the absolute best.
It's funny because, you know, so many people have different reactions to it. A lot of people.
They get depressed.
They associate it with.
Cozy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes me happy.
Me too.
Yeah, it's a great thing to be in when you have a creative moment.
Right?
It's just like when you have an extra excuse to just be in the lab and write or do whatever. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
It's so cool.
Yeah. Well, shit, man. We'll get out of your hair.
Yeah, all good.
It's fine. Thanks so much for having us over.
Yeah,
this place is super inspiring and awesome.
It really
cool.
is.
Yeah.
I can stay here.
It's good hang. Good hang.
Good hang.
There's like so many toys you have that I want to check out.
is Lauren in here somewhere? So we can get Steve to sign a release. Oh, here she is. Hey, what's up? All right, we're ready for you. Thank you.
Thank you
this
for having
so
us over. This
great.
Was really cool.
Yeah, awesome. I love talking with you for 2 hours.
Yeah, that was fun.
Great.
That was fun.
Yeah. My pleasure. All right, we'll be in touch. Thanks for everything. This was amazing.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Bye. Cool.
Dude, thank you so much.
Take
really good to see you.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Next up, you will definitely want to strap in for our conversation with legendary director, screenwriter, anthropologist, modern mystic, and dark sorcerer, Richard Stanley.
Dark sorcerer?
You know,
fuck it.
Threw that in.
This has been Visitations. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you never miss an episode. Visitations is a Shudder original podcast. Download the app or visit Shudder.com to start your free 7-day trial. Visitations was created by Spectrevision, hosted by Daniel Noah and myself, Elijah Wood. Executive produced by Daniel Noah, Josh C. Waller, Lisa Whalen, and me. Produced by Elisa Hieras. On-set producer and post-supervisor was Lauren Magura. Edited and mixed by Graham Resnick. Production sound provided by Brian Curley. Our PA is Guillermo Patricios. Our stills photographer was Tema Hankin. Original artwork by Jay Shaw. For Shudder, Owen Shiflett and Nicholas Lazo. And our music was composed by Bad Bad Not Good.